The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Scott Jones. He's the Data Analytics Team Leader, and Stephanie Adams. She's the Vice President of a company called IQ Solutions. Good morning. How are you two doing?
Good morning. We're doing well.
We're doing well.
Well, with a company name like IQ Solutions, I hope both of you are pretty smart. My audience is going to see this online going, IQ, well, they must be smart. We know John isn't, so that's my technique. I bring in smart people because I'm sure a little weak on the IQ level. Many of my people are going, IQ Solutions, what the heck is that? Is that like a testing thing, like for getting into college? Or what's IQ? What's this all about? I thought we'd bring you folks in to talk about data analytics and mostly listening to customers and try to get information about people who visit federal websites to maybe make the site more responsive in many different levels, maybe responsive in a design perspective and responsive when it comes to listening to what citizens, what clients, what customers want. But before we begin and talk about IQ, Scott Jones, tell us about your IQ and your background and how you wound up working for IQ Solutions, please.
Well, thank you, John. Prior to coming to IQ Solutions, I had worked for about 25 years in marketing with very much of an analytics bent to it, primarily in magazine circulation and old-style direct marketing and so forth. But obviously with the advent of the internet coming on and the need for analytics and publications moving to the internet and so forth, that required a new way of doing things. And so I work pretty heavily in internet-related work and so forth for about 10 years or so. And then coming to IQ Solutions over 5 years ago, came into the federal space and started working with federal clients in the way of analytics.
Great, great. So you saw the from little seed to big, big bounce. It was little data when you started. Now it's big data, and we got to figure out how to
very
use
much.
That big data. Mm-hmm. So Stephanie, tell us your background, a little bit different angle than Scott's.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I got started in political campaigns and worked with Senator Tom Harkin, and that gave me an entree into the health community. Through that, I've been in health now for over 20 years, and I've done it from several different, you know, perspectives. I worked in women's health. I've worked with nonprofits. I even dabbled in the .com pre-bust with iVillage. I worked with pharma clients looking at market, you know, adoption of new products. And I came to IQ, and it's, you know, so throughout it all, there's been a passion and a central theme of health and advocacy. And so for me, the data has always been, you know, a valuable tool, something, how can you use it? How can you reach your goals and make something better?
And you're probably familiar with a recently coined term in the last 5 years called a data scientist, kind of a new term, you know, so it's a and I think a lot of my listeners are going, well, yeah, I think I get it. I've read about data scientists, and many of my listeners work for agencies for the federal government. Well, where they finally have these big warehouses, if you want to use the term, of data, and that's all great. It's like having, you know, a whole garage full of leaf rakes. Okay, well now what? You know, I don't. What do you do with them? You have to do something with them. And I think that's the idea today. Is okay, you've got a garage full of leaf rakes, or you've got a railroad car full of fiddle faddle, whatever you have. What do you do with this? How do you understand it? And that's what we're going to talk about today. One focus at IQ Solutions, by the way, if you want more information, you go to, guess where, IQSolutions.com. One focus has been working with agencies, a lot of health-type agencies, and they have a lot of information there. But also what they want to do is find out about people who are visiting their sites. I think this is one aspect of just, hey, let's understand who's visiting our site, where they're going, why they're going, and maybe, just maybe, we can respond to their needs and create a better site. That's one of the goals of IQ Solutions here, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, I mean, everything's transformed from, you know, old paper products and publications to, you know, really developing a very strong digital content strategy. Our clients are all very passionate. They're all, you know, committed to the health issues that they're working on, and they want to reach the people out there. And one of the critical things is when you think about it, you know, something like 70 to 80% of people who are searching online for health issues, they start with Google or another search engine. So you really want to think about how do you grab the people who are out there looking for your information?
Yes, that's the famous figure from David Meerman Scott, isn't it? 70% of people do internet search before they even call your company, before they call your agency. Mm-hmm. And that's really true. And so they do some research and find out. So what you want to do is maybe have some presence, maybe social media presence, maybe a website or something. I am a big follower of trends and data trends, and especially people like Data Meerman Scott. He was here 2 months ago on Mark Amtower's show. Here's a fun fact for you. So, Scott, do you believe this, that when people actually like interacting with data, they engage in it? That's a pretty good statement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no question that they engage in data if they're interested in it, and they'll enjoy working with it and learning more about it.
So, Scott, you have a technical background here. There's a lot of terms I'm going to throw around. I'm not trying to dazzle anyone. I sure couldn't dazzle anybody. So there's data mining and data warehouses and data marts. Maybe we can define those three terms and start off with some definitions.
Okay. Data mining is basically digging down into the data to find the unique insights that you can get out of the data. And because data isn't on its surface really obvious what's there. And so you really have to dig down to a deep level in order to get the deeper level insights.
And is a silly analogy I said about a garage full of leaf rakes. So that's a data warehouse, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And what we have now is a situation where traditionally, if someone wanted to start a data warehouse, they would go down to their AT department and they would buy a server and they'd get a team and it'd take 2 months and all of a sudden they'd have a place to store all that information. Now it's dynamically being allocated with stuff like Amazon Redshift. So the whole idea of data warehousing is changing in this world of big data, isn't it?
Yes, it's definitely changing dramatically because it used to be going back, say, 15, 20, 25 years ago, that you were dealing with a lot of relational or hierarchical databases, and that's all you had. But then the whole concept of a data warehouse came about, and chunking up the data into specific dimensions and facts, and then hence came the data warehouse, where you could more easily get to the data and all of its insights.
Stephanie, it may surprise you to know that I spent 3 years of my life working as a professional speaker, and I studied intensely. And what professional speakers try to do is guess what? Connect to their audience. Okay. Now let's take that and apply that to your world. Well, that's exactly what you're trying to do, connect to the audience, aren't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of our key audiences is, you know, our federal clients. And it's really, what are their needs? What are their, you know, pain points? What do they need to have to make happen? And a lot of times, especially in this budget climate, what we've seen is a huge shift since Scott and I started working together of, you know, things being of it going from just kind of standard reporting to really, wait, I've got a show. I'm competing now with my colleagues. How is my program being as impactful and as effective as it can be? So what's been pretty fascinating is to watch this transformation. I was thinking back to when we first started, and there was one of our clients. They had like a 250-page narrative monthly report. And when you finished one report, you're starting the next. We transform that into this series of dashboards. They're actionable. They make the data really accessible. They make it really transparent. You can really see what's happening. And so there's that communications element of that, of how do I tell my story, and what can I grab out of that data to tell an even bigger and more powerful story?
Yeah, storytelling seems to be very, very popular because it's an easy way to I guess, condense information. And I'm going to turn to Scott. And, you know, when I talk to software developers, they always talk about the back end and the front end and the back end and the front end. So I'm going to put you in the back end, you in the front end. So you're going to be customer facing and you're going to be the guy who has to pull cable and figure out how all these servers work together. So we have a situation where people are trying to generate a lot of information and they create these large reports. Now, I can remember years ago when Microsoft SharePoint had a little pie graph, and they call that data visualization. You know, I think it's gone up. In the last 5 years, it's changed drastically, hasn't it? These different types of ways to display data.
It's really changed very dramatically because now it's a lot more than just a simple pie chart. You can have three-dimensional graphs. You can have tree charts. You can have line graphs that have detailed color legend to them. There's a lot of different ways to tell a story. And there's a whole visualization revolution out there that is taking place that it's basically the science of storytelling. And what's the best way to visualize the data in such a way that you can tell the story most effectively?
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Gartner Magic Quadrant. And they talk about 15 or 20 different companies that are involved in this area of business intelligence and analytics. And maybe we can give our listeners some choices and considerations where they may want to apply one tool and not another tool. And talk more about the experience that IQ Solutions has had with federal customers, helping them to pick this numerical data in a visual way. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Scott Jones, Data Analytics Team Leader, and Stephanie Adams, Vice President at IQ Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Scott Jones. He is the Data Analytics Team Leader. And we have Stephanie Adams. She's the Vice President at a company called IQ Solutions. If you're listening to this interview and there's snow on the ground and you're thinking about basketball or something, you can go to iqsolutions.com and you can download white papers and see what they're all about. They've been involved in the area here for many years, and they work with federal agencies to help them understand data and get a deeper understanding of the data that they have and the data that they get by people visiting their websites. And so it comes under this big category of called data analytics, or maybe business intelligence, business analytics. There's all kinds of words that kind of describe taking numbers and representing them visually, all kinds of different terms for that. When you do studying, and when I studied for this interview, I went down to the Gartner Magic Quadrant. I must have seen 20 companies in this space. I mean, all kinds of companies. There's funny names, easy names, IBM's in this space, SAS, SAP's in this space. Let's talk about two or three of the big companies out there that I see are kind of popular and important. I see Burst is kind of popular with many developers. Tableau is popular. And this thing called Pentaho. Maybe talk about those three for our listeners. Give us maybe put our hands on these concepts a little bit better.
Yes, I think that with these different companies, they're looking to find solutions as far as visualizing data and putting it together in a way that is understandable. Some of these companies, when you're looking at someone like a Pentaho or IBM or some of the others, they're going for a more technical solution and looking to represent it maybe with more traditional IT in some way. The route that we chose to take was to go ahead and use Tableau. And we chose Tableau because of its ease of use, the ease of installation. They do a lot of research and work as far as best practices go in visualizing data. And they've been very much of a pioneer and leader in the way of best practices and visualization for a number of years now.
You know, the folks that started Tableau, one of them used to work at Pixar. His name is Hanrahan. And you go, oh, geez, Pixar. And then he takes this skill set and applies it to data visualization. It's like the best of both worlds. It's the front and the back end, isn't it? It's both mindsets, art and sciences. So we have Tableau. Simple to download, fire it up, test it out. If you like it, fine. Don't like it, it's fine. When I think of Burst, I think of like, you know, this huge, big thing that comes in and it's almost like a platform. Is that how you think of Burst?
Yeah, anything like that that is on a platform, something like MicroStrategy, some of the other ones similar to that, they have their own large platform that they work with. They're very technical solutions. They're very good solutions in the end, really. But especially for smaller companies, sometimes they can be a little bit more difficult to implement and to get to work with a set of data. And I think that that's one of Tableau's strengths, is that you can really quickly implement it and set it up and get it going.
Yeah, a quick test drive. So we have a wide range of products. You know, I don't want to only talk about licensed products. There's also open source products out there. I think one is called Pentaho. I don't know much about it. Have you ever used Pentaho? It's open source, right?
Yes, that's one of the products that we took a look at. I think we also looked at Jasper as well. And again, they're good products. And they're very useful and very helpful products. And so we actively considered them.
Well, we have back-end tools here. And so he's got a toolbox. He can pull out Tableau. He can pull out whatever he needs to solve the problem. The question is, we got to define the problem, don't we? We have to look at the customer and say, okay, what's your problem? Is your problem is maybe looking at who's visiting your website? Now, if I'm selling shoes like Zappos, I want to know everything about someone coming to my website, who they are, how much they have to spend, where they are, what fashion shoes are, and find out what's trending, I guess, boots in the winter or something. And so does the government have to worry about who's visiting their websites also?
They need to understand, you know, they're not necessarily, our clients aren't necessarily selling products, but they need to understand what the questions are, what the visitor is going to need to achieve when they come to the site. So they can find the right information. They connect with the health resources services as they are. And there's a lot of great tools out there. You know, you definitely want to use web analytics software, whether it's Google Analytics or, you know, Omniture or Web Trends, to really understand who's coming to your site and what they're doing. I think what we're seeing here is, you know, the more you can drill in, you have to go beyond those initial dashboards. Everybody always gets dazzled with any single tool's dashboards and really get in to slice and dice the data to get a really nuanced understanding of who your visitors are. And what's even more important, I think, is really being able to blend or mash that data with other data sets. So you can see, you know, for example, they're coming from, an eBlast sort of, you know, so you're blending your eBlast data with your web analytics data and then ultimately with your pub data. There's like so many different data sets that would really enrich the understanding if you can pull them all together.
You know, Stephanie, 3 out of 5 searches on Google now are on smartphones. Mm-hmm. And 40% of all videos viewed on YouTube are on smartphones or portable devices. And so I would imagine that if you're a federal agency and you are citizen facing, I guess that's the phrase, you have to respond. You have to find out how many people come to your site using handheld devices and what to do about that and make your site maybe adapt to that.
Absolutely. Having a responsive site is something we've seen as being incredibly valuable. For the clients who have gone there, we've seen a huge increase in their traffic. And then there's these other, you know, changes that are going on. I know we were talking off the air about like Google Hummingbird. The fact that search engines now are really giving priority to sites that are responsive, that are mobile friendly. They know so much of their traffic is coming through a mobile device. And so being able to adjust and make your content readable, usable on a variety of different devices, whether it's, you know, a phone or a phablet or a tablet, is really critically important to think about.
You know, Scott, I was talking to a CIO just yesterday, and he's redoing his website. And he says, well, you know, it's all going to be responsive right from the beginning, right from the get-go, responsive. And I think, well, that's a good idea. But he's going to accomplish this all with HTML5. And he said, well, that's the answer, HTML5. I said, well, it's an answer. I mean, it's much more than just clicking on a switch, HTML5. All the answers are solved for responsive design, isn't it?
Yeah, it's HTML5 and so forth are a great platform to build a responsive site on. And like Stephanie was saying, you really do pretty much have to go with responsive right now if you're going to make your site mobile friendly and make it really receptive to all devices that are coming in on the site.
Yeah, there's a technique called Bootstrap, and I've spent many hours talking with people about implementing Bootstrap on HTML5. But it's HTML5. Well, it can break. No, it can't. Well, it can break, and I think that's why you have to have the front-end knowledge of what kind of citizens are coming to your site and the back-end knowledge of how to present that information so it's mobile-friendly. And let's face it, if that many people are trying to get information from your site, you have to at least, I would think, respond to them, huh? So what kind of experiences has IQ Solutions had with number of people of, let's take a typical site, maybe in the healthcare area, what percentage are mobile visitors, do you know? I mean, is that an important metric for your people?
It's absolutely important. I think we've seen it varies depending on whether the sites are responsive, but I think our more successful clients are up at like 40% mobile, and it's increasing. Absolutely.
Now, in the federal government, Scott, are there mandates for that? Are there suggestions or recommendations or guidelines?
There are a number of guidelines federally for websites. I don't know that there is a specific mandate as far as responsiveness or anything like that. But there are definitely mandates as far as web analytics are concerned, and applying that and what metrics are important and so forth. But basically, the sites that we have seen go responsive and the ones that we've worked with, they basically doubled their mobile traffic within about a year or so, generally.
Federal sites. Mm-hmm. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Because it's easier. I mean, if you're, you know, if my wife and I are sitting around, she'll get our, and she'll, oh, yeah, Brad Pitt was born in 1982. But it'll answer the question quickly, won't it? And right. Maybe this is what's gone. Oh, what are my benefits from a health agency? Well, if I can pull out the phone and find the answer right there, it's a lot easier than going home, drinking a computer, or whatever you have to do to find a Wi-Fi. It's quicker, huh?
Exactly. And what you're, the kind of thing you're talking about there sort of comes as a result of some of the things that Google Hummingbird has been doing in Google. There are similar things that are going on with Bing and Yahoo right now. But all told, the search engines want to present data as quickly as possible. And like, for example, with Google's huge database with Knowledge Graph that they have applied in Google Hummingbird, it gets that knowledge there quickly.
Let's take a break. We can talk back a little bit more about this quick knowing and rapid fire analytics. That's the phrase, I think that's the word. And what's the difference between reporting and data visualization? Many people have these questions. And what do you have when two or three different streams of data, how do you visualize that? What are the challenges involved in that? You're listening to Scott Jones, Data Analytics Team Leader, and Stephanie Adams, Vice President of IQ Solutions. And this is Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy. Here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Scott Jones, Data Analytics Team Leader, and Stephanie Adams, Vice President, IQ Solutions. I guess you both have high IQs or you wouldn't work for IQ Solutions, huh? My goodness gracious. That's a bad joke, and I'm going to have to stop that one because I know I'd tease my wife if she worked for a company like that every single day. Before the break, we tossed out some topics here, and many people read blogs and try to find out what's going on. And if they have an interest in data visualization, they may look at blogs to read. My blog, by the way, is called Tech Tuesday Blog. I write about everything. Is there a blog that your company has, Scott, or can recommend my listeners to read?
Yes, we have a blog on our IQ Solutions site, so anyone can go there anytime and take a look at the blog or the rest of the site and some of the different offerings that IQ Solutions has.
Have you played around with any videos, 2-3 minute descriptions of what you can do? I'm asking companies more and more companies want to do short videos. Has your company ever tried short videos to tell your story?
We have a creative group within IQ Solutions that does quite a bit in the way of video work, and it is effective, and that's something that we're urging more of our clients to do. And it doesn't need to be a long video.
No.
It can just be like 1 to 3 minutes,
max.
Maybe at the most.
Max.
And it tells a story and does so effectively.
So my kids who are in their 20s can go to YouTube and type in IQ Solutions and maybe see some videos, which is where they want to consume their information that way. I'll tell you that much. That might be one way to learn about your offerings. So let's use these fancy terms here. Reporting and data visualization. Same thing, different. What's the difference here?
Reporting is when you are just giving an update on some kind of topic or subject of some kind. Visualization can either take place within reporting or in some kind of special project or research that you're doing, but it does so in a visual way rather than just using plain text to give results.
Flat file, relational data, all kinds of different data out there. A term that many of my listeners use is rapid fire analytics. Last month's report. I don't want yesterday. I want what's going on right now. This is also a part of data visualization, isn't it?
It is, because in order to give results quickly, real time data is something that people have been talking about for a long time. And you want to be able to tell a story so that it can be perceived by basically inside of 2 seconds by someone looking at a report or some kind of ad hoc project or whatever. And visualizing it is the best way to do that.
I'm about to give a 90-minute lecture on Google Analytics. And room full of smart people, by the way. It's going to challenge me to give this lecture. But this is what people normally use in the business world, Google Analytics. I think this is what agencies use to analyze what's going on their website as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. There's been a lot of work with Google Analytics. And we also see clients use all the different web analytics softwares. But you know, there's a growing interest. We've seen some mandates out there about having the Google Universal Code on your site.
It's free.
It's free. It's free. But it's one of those things. It's like with any free product, it's not, you don't want to just start at that first dashboard. You have to be able to drill in. You have to put it to work for you. And you want to have someone who's willing to dig in and have an understanding and make sense out of it.
There's a book called In the Plex. It's a history of the foundation of Google. And some people have this idea of Google as being this monolithic Borg, one thing made us do. No, Google's changing, like it's probably changed twice this morning already. It's hard to keep up with all these changes and understand what analytics mean, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a constant education. It's constantly monitoring what's going on out there in the field, listen to what you're hearing from your peers, but really staying on top of things.
So what is Google Hummingbird?
Google Hummingbird was a fundamental change to their algorithm. It went live, what was it, August 2013. But it's really transformed how search engines look. And you may not, you see it every day. People are increasingly, especially with mobile devices, they're asking questions of Google. They're no longer saying, okay, what keyword am I searching for? But, you know, where's the closest, you know, place for Thai food? And so what you're seeing is just a very different, more conversational way of Google, you know, the Google algorithm, but also in what results get prioritized. They're looking more and more for really good content. They're looking for like rich snippets, like what has ratings, what doesn't, like what's a mobile responsive site. It's really benefiting web developers who've done everything right.
So if I'm selling shoes for Zappos, boy, I want to have a site and know exactly what's going on every day. So what would be the application for a federal website? What would the user Google Analytics for?
Oh, I mean, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's so many people who start by when they're looking for health information, they're just starting with Google. And you want to make sure, as you know, all of our federal clients have evidence-based, really high quality content. You want to connect those users with that content as quickly as possible. You want your content to be showing up above the fold, if you will, in Google. So you definitely want to make sure it's structured correctly, where it's going to get prioritized, where it's going to be seen by Google, whether it's in the knowledge graph itself or one of the top search results.
Well, Scott, I'm going to ask you a question that inevitably people are going to ask, because they're going to say, well, I have a bucket of information here from Google and all this information on Google Analytics. Okay. And I have a bucket of information here from Oracle, and there's all kinds of good stuff I have here. But Scott, I want to take both of them and combine them. I don't want two reports, I want one. And combining data, this gets to be pretty tricky, doesn't it?
It can be very tricky because we call that mashing in the analytics arena. And so you want to be able to find the common elements between those two sets of data, put it together in such a way that it's intelligible and will really provide a deep level of insight to customers, or in this case, a federal audience.
And increasingly, if we want to talk about rapid fire and real time, they want the combined data to be presented daily. I mean,
absolutely.
They want to come in the morning. I've heard people say this at 9 o'clock in the morning. I want to sit at my desk and I want to have three streams of information generate a dashboard for me, so I know what to do that day and take. And I think that's what you're getting at, is taking action on the information. Google Analytics is great, but if you don't take action on it, why even talk about it?
Absolutely. And that's the difference. We mentioned it earlier between, in my mind, reporting and data visualization or business intelligence. Reporting is you're just getting some key metrics. With data visualization, it's a really powerful way to interact with the data. Most of us are very visual. So it's, you're not looking at what is this precise number, but you're looking for patterns. You're looking for trends. You're wanting to be able to slice and dice to really understand, hey, this is an area that's growing in interest for my audience. Why is that? Is there something I need to do to respond to that? Do I want to, you know, deploy a social media strategy, or vice versa, is my social media strategy working?
I was on this silly phone call on Skype. One enterprise architect was in Thailand golfing. Another one was in Hungary drinking, and I was in Virginia. And we talked about this website. And this one guy, he tossed off this phrase, oh, that's just a flat file. That's nothing. Okay, whoa. There's more than just relational databases out there. There are existing systems that may or may not produce information that is palatable to different types of graphics designs. And so typical programs like Burst or Tableau will have hooks or what they call connectors to certain specific types. Right. Has that ever been a challenge for you, these different types of connectors?
Yeah, there's so many different types of data out there right now. Early in my career, I was only usually dealing with about 3 or 4 or 5 data sources. We did a recent inventory, and we're up close to 30 data sources that we're dealing with right now. And so you have to have the right connection for your database. You have to, if there's a field that is not in common, sometimes you have to create that field. And so there's a lot of manipulation and work that you have to do with the data in the background before you can even bring it to a dashboard or some kind of report.
No, Stephanie, I'm a big believer in robots, and I watch robot movies and everything else, and there has to be a human involved in this somehow, too. I mean, I think, you know, Tableau is great, and Click is great, and Microsoft is great, but there's a bit of a human intervention here, doesn't there?
There has to be. I mean, the more you know about the content or the business need, the more you have that sort of understanding, the stronger your analysis is going to be. And that's one of the exciting things about some of these new tools is, you know, I'm not coming from an IT background, but I can jump in and do some pretty complex analyses really quickly with large data sets. And the more you can marry those two different areas, you know, it's not IT on one side and the business on the other. The more you can marry that and use these tools to make that happen, the more successful you'll be.
When I think about healthcare IT and the federal government and public health in particular, I once worked with a company called the PHAB, Public Health Accreditation Board. And it was kind of like a backwater thing, and no one knew about it until this whole thing called Ebola. And all of a sudden, I am certain that there are federal agencies where someone's calling them up saying, tell me exactly about this particular problem. Where is it? Who is it? And Scott can walk in with a plate full of numbers, and they go, what does that mean? And so you have to take all this information and say, well, here's the states, here's a distribution, here's this point and that point. But mm-hmm. But I think with public health and a lot of issues, all of a sudden people have this information, but they have to be presented in a palatable manner, and that's what we're talking about here. Let's take a break. We come back. We'll talk more about data visualization and maybe some of your personal technology choices and see which one of you two is, in fact, a card-carrying nerd. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests today are Scott Jones, Data Analytics Team Leader, and Stephanie Adams, Vice President at IQ Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Scott Jones. He's the Data Analytics Team Leader, and Stephanie Adams, Vice President at a company called IQ Solutions. They work with a wide range of customers, govies, federal government agencies, commercial companies, and they help people make sense of their data. And they help people make sense of web analytics programs and seeing who's coming to the site and why. And we've been talking about all kinds of things involving big data and little data and confusing data. And some people like using Twitter. My Twitter handle is @RayGilRay, and the Twitter handle for IQ Solutions must be?
IQ Solutions. At
IQ Solutions. And you know, I'm going to have 12 students in the classroom here on Thursday, and each one of them wants their information differently. It's like, you know, it's a feeding fest of, I want a blog, I want this, I want radio, I want to listen to podcasts while I'm working out. And so you can listen to this interview the next time you're working out to get more insights on data visualization. I've got to go back to the beginning of the interview. You talked about storytelling and public speaking and storytelling and data visualization. So what you're trying to tell me, Stephanie, is that a federal agency can use data to tell their story. Is that true?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think there are so many different ways of telling a story. And if you're trying to tell it to the public, it's really funny. The other day, I sent my daughter this thing. She wasn't answering her mobile phone for me. And, you know, we've had the conversation a lot of times. And I found, even though I hate pie charts, I found a pie chart. And it basically showed 99% of what parents, you know, it shows what parents are thinking when a kid doesn't answer their phone. 99% is you're dead or you're dying. And 1% is your battery's dead. So, and it made the point, you know, all of a sudden she understood, wow, really? That's how big and profound it is. So storytelling through data can be so powerful. You know, I'm working with some public health data sets now that are provided by CDC. And it's really like there's in the health community, there's literally kind of a competition for resources and for attention. And so the ability to kind of be able to slice and dice and really get to a nuanced understanding and make it a compelling argument for policy changes, research investment, all of those things is a really powerful way for people who are passionate about what they do.
And if we touch on public health, it could be something as simple as vaccination. You can talk about this is percentage here and percentage there. And there's so many stories to be told, especially in that area. And with the new things that are going on today with public health, it's always fascinating. One story that I like to tell is the nerds that I've had in the studio. I've done, I don't know, 390 interviews so far. And my listeners always listen. They go, I wonder that Scott, is he really a nerd? Is he a nerd wannabe or something? And so I have put together a scientific 10-question test, and I have proof positive of who the nerd in the room is. And I'm going to start off with you, Scott, ask these 10 questions and just see exactly how deep you are in the nerd level here. So while we break into your house tonight, how many old-school desktops do we find there?
We are just in the process of doing away with our last one.
Oh, that's the right answer. Okay. And how many cell phones have you personally purchased in the last year?
We have purchased two for our family.
That's not a bad answer. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yes, I have a Twitter handle.
Hard to top that. And do you have a personal blog?
Not yet.
Okay, that's bad. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
iOS.
iOS. And what's the most popular app on that phone you've used in the last month?
Well, I'm really into sports and especially basketball, so I would say anything dealing with maybe SportsCenter, CBS Sports, or something like that.
So March Madness for you. And we break into your house. How many tablet devices do you see floating around your house?
We have three right now. We have two iPads, and we have a Kindle.
And when was your most recent post on a social networking site, Scott?
Let's see, probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Not bad. And do you have a mobile fitness device on your arm as we speak?
I do not.
Oh, that's the new question, yeah. And last book you read, paper or electronic?
All electronic now. I do all my
books. He's pretty nerdy. He's pretty nerdy. He's going to hard to top that one, Stephanie. We're going to ask you anyway because we want to find out the secret life of Stephanie Adams. Okay, we break into your house. How many old school desktops do we find?
One.
That's bad. How many cell phones have you personally purchased in the last year?
Three.
Three. That's good. That's good. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do, at StephTweet.
Okay. Do you have a personal blog?
No, but I have this long Facebook stream. I'm told I have the dubious distinction of being everybody's favorite Facebooker.
And what kind of smartphone do you have? I don't see anything.
I have an iOS.
iOS. And what's the most popular app in the last month?
Oh, you know, I'm digging Road ID. It's this app that shows, it has a breadcrumb of where I am, and it tweets to my husband where I am in case, and if I'm standing still for longer than 5 minutes, it sends an alert. It's a safety thing.
Wow, boy.
It's cool.
I have three kids. I'd love to have them let me put that on their phone. They're never going to let me do that. Never, never, never.
Yeah,
never.
I'm kind of beta testing it for mine.
Yes. And how many tablet devices do you have floating around your house?
Five. iPads and a Kindle.
Scott, did you hear that? Did you hear that one? Okay. And do you have a mobile fitness device on your little arm there?
Let's see. I have one. I have a Fitbit.
Oh, you have a Fitbit kind of on your waist or whatever that thing is down, huh? And last book you read, was electronic or paper?
Electronic.
Electronic. Scott, you got competition here, buddy. You got serious competition. I'm going to take this into my basement, and I have a old school computer, original Apple II, and I'm going to do the Apple II and find out who, in fact, is the card-carrying nerd. Although that's kind of interesting, the length of your Facebook. It's almost a blog after a post like that, huh?
It is. It is a life story, kind of.
Well, Scott, you've seen a lot of things over the years. You know, I think you encapsulated very carefully when you said, well, geez, I said we're about two or three different types of data. Now I have to go about 24 different types of data. So where do you think this all is going to metastasize, complete 100 different types of data? Is it going to even out? Or what do you think is happening with big data and data visualization?
I think it's going to continue to evolve. I think there's going to be new types of visualizations that will come out. I wouldn't be surprised down the road if things become more three-dimensional, even later on, about 10 or 15 years down the road, being able to be manipulated with a finger or a touch of some kind. So it's going to get more sophisticated and will definitely evolve.
So, Stephanie, are federal IT professionals who manage websites, are they going to be able to connect to their audience? I'm pretty sure they get it. I don't know if they have the money to get it, but I think pretty sure they get it. Maybe that's the challenge. Maybe the govies do get it, and they understand the idea of connecting the audience, but there's ain't no money.
it's a challenge. And I think that's where data comes into handy. I think data helps you make the compelling argument for a greater investment. We've seen that over and over again, is that the data makes the business case. And then at the other end, it tells your success story. It's a self-fueling cycle.
Speaking of cycles, in one of the breaks we talked about Gartner and the trough of disillusionment and everything else. I'm wondering if desktops are in that trough of disillusionment. Now they're going to come up to normal. So you think that's going to happen with desktop computers?
Yeah, there's still definitely a niche for desktop computers. And I think that disillusionment cycle has pretty much flattened out and may even be going slightly up again. But at the very least, I don't think they're going to be going down very much, if at all, anymore in popularity.
Stephanie, if we were at an event and I was sitting next to a someone who managed a website, maybe Department of Interior, Commerce, HHS, wherever, and I could give them for tips at understanding people who visit their website, what three things would you tell them? Okay, here's what you want to look at. Tomorrow morning, look at these three things in your analytics of who visited your website in the last week. What three things do you think they'd want to look at?
That's a really good question. Off the top of my head, I'm always really curious in who's referred people to your websites. Like, where is the traffic coming from? How are they finding you? And are they sticking? Are they staying there? Exploring? Or do you have like one-time hits where you have to like optimize what you have on that one page that they're coming to?
Exit page analysis important or not?
Sometimes. It depends on how the site is structured. You know, some pages you're going to have a high bounce rate and it's intended that way. So you can't just, I don't think there's a blanket rule. It really depends on the objective.
I've consulted with a company that's going to release a website tomorrow, and I have a call to action on every single page. In fact, I have three calls to action on every page. Can the government even do that? Call to action is download the white paper, look in the video, sign up for the newsletter. I mean, can govies do that? I don't know.
Absolutely. In the communications realm, it's all about, you know, downloading products, signing up for newsletters, staying in touch. Absolutely. There's a lot of ways that they can engage.
Well, I would imagine, let's say my wife takes school children to Italy every summer, and she may want to sign up for a newsletter from the Department of State, keeping apprised of what's going on in security in Europe. Now, I'm thinking, I would sign up for that newsletter if I went to Italy every summer. Huh? I guess that's one way. I keep thinking of commercial sales and selling bridges or cars or shoes, but the government's selling information. They can have newsletters that update citizens on current trends in public health, current trends in travel security, maybe even electronic FEMA. That'd be another place there too, huh?
Absolutely. One of the things I love with my mobile phone is the alerts are coming to me. I'm not having to go and research and find things. The more things that can go to the consumer, and, you know, we're lazy. you know, I'm not going to be searching necessarily ongoing basis for the newest and latest, you know, information. But when things come to me, it makes life pretty easy.
That's good. That's what IQ Solutions is all about, making life easier for federal IT professionals. And hopefully the objective is makes easier for the citizens who are visiting the site trying to get information. I'd like to thank my guests today. Thank my guests, Scott Jones, Data Analytics Team Leader, and Stephanie Adams, Vice President of IQ Solutions. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And happy computing.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.